Hi, it's Rob West. Do you need help developing a spending and/or debt reduction plan? Trained MoneyWise coaches can assist using practical tools and biblical insights to get you on track. You can request a MoneyWise coach by going to MoneyWise.org and clicking the Community tab. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Matthew 25:40. I am Rob West. Jesus' message is that we'll be judged not by what we have in this world, but by what we are willing to give. Today I'll talk with Gene McMains about how you can leave a legacy of generosity that impacts the world. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our guest, Gene McMains, is an executive vice president and an attorney at the National Christian Foundation. Over the last 25 years, she's worked with hundreds of families and business owners to integrate their faith and values into a legacy of generosity. Gene's a friend. We've been working at this together for a long, long time, and it's a great privilege to have her on the program. Gene, welcome back.
Rob, it's great to be here.
Well, we're delighted that you are. And at NCF, I know you have the joy of working with families literally across the country who want to leave thriving and enduring legacies grounded in their faith and values. And perhaps to use a baseball analogy, along the way, you've seen what we might call foul balls and home runs. So maybe you can jump off with that and fill us in.
Absolutely. You know, we all have a heart to do well and position our families to have these thriving and enduring legacies that you speak of, Rob. Yeah. But I've found that sometimes in our enthusiasm, we can make it a little too complex for that next generation of stewards and to right size the experience, both in the time involved and the amount of the generosity, giving, granting, stewardship is really important. And, I think that's one of the foul balls that, you know, your listeners here can be mindful of. And I remember when I tried to teach my kids how to play golf, Rob, I tried to teach them how to like take a stance and what the club trajectory did. And and when I asked them to go out again, they were like, not interested, Mom. This is a lot of work.
A little too technical.
It is. And I was reflecting with my dad one year and he said, Gene, you need to let them fall in love with the game before you try to teach them all the technical aspects. So I think that's a good word for our listeners. Let them learn to fall in love with giving and their expression of it before, you know, you load on the responsibility and all the fine tuning of how they give. Not that both aren't important, but the heart has to lead the how.
Oh, that's so good. And so often perhaps we get those in reverse order and they miss the excitement and frankly, the privilege, the joy of being generous. Well, we're going to take a look today at three questions that we all have to answer if we want to leave a meaningful legacy of generosity towards God's kingdom. The first one that people often wrestle with, Gene, as you know, is how do I leave an inheritance that will be a blessing and not a stumbling block? Unpack that for us a bit and how families can navigate this concern.
Oh, boy, this is a big one, Rob. And again, the heart desire of the families is usually they want to see their kids flourish and their grandchildren and their loved ones flourish. And yet, if we don't start with doing the root work and really build on a solid foundation of the role of wealth in our lives, what it is and what it isn't, you know, we have to do that every day. But in the area of inheritance design, it's critical. If we miss this, everything's at risk. So, you know, what do I mean by that? Well, we all can agree that our resources are not where our identity and our security lie, right? Yeah. The Lord Jesus on Calvary earned the right to be the identity and the security. But in this world, it's a constant temptation to develop unanalyzed, you know, unevaluated root threads. Somehow our resources are who we are or they're our safety net.
Yes.
They're not the hero and villain of our story, right?
Yes.
And yet we might believe that to be true about ourselves, but we forget that's also true about our loved ones. And so inheritance design, I always like to build on that cornerstone that what we leave behind is a blessing to help fuel the life trajectory that God is working through them. But we have to debunk right out of the gate that whether you leave an abundance or very little, the resources you leave behind will not be the security or the, you know, the plot line in your loved one's life story. So getting a right perspective of wealth is essential.
Yes. Well, that is so key. And I love this idea that, you know, God's always been about our hearts and that our money journey is the training ground of the heart. And if we think about it that way, and as you said, find our identity in Him, that's the beginning place. But then how much is enough or too much to leave to the kids? Well, we'll deal with that and much more just around the corner. Delighted to have Gene McMaines, Executive Vice President and attorney at the National Christian Foundation today to talk more about all of this. Stay with us on MoneyWise. We'll be right back.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise. My guest today is Gene McMaines, Executive Vice President and attorney at the National Christian Foundation. Gene's worked with literally hundreds of families and business owners over the years to integrate their faith and values into their legacy of generosity. Today, we're talking about a really important topic. How do you think about transferring wealth to the next generation? What does it look like to leave an inheritance that's a blessing and not a stumbling block? How much is too much? Well, we're unpacking that today. And Gene, before the break, you were sharing that really it's important that we think about the role of generosity in our lives and really transferring wisdom and values before wealth. But the second question that we have to get to is how much is healthy to leave to my kids without doing harm? How do we help folks work through that decision-making process that you encounter?
That's the question everyone loves to jump into, isn't it, Rob? Like right out of the gate. And and we as followers of Jesus, I find we struggle with this. And as I mentioned before the break, you know, how much we leave isn't the hero or the villain. And I think that's important for, you know, people to soak and rest in that it's going to be okay because God's authoring the story. However, the conversation does have to pivot to how much, right? At the end of the day, those decisions are made. So I think it's important that we change the question to not what's the right amount, but instead to look at the frame the question a little different. Look at what do I want it to do in the life of this child or grandchild or this loved one? I don't know about you, Rob, but I've had couples that literally are sitting across the table from me and husband, the true story, says, when we pass, we're going to give everything to charity because we've already launched our children. They have education and house and they're in the business. Sure. And then the wife says, au contraire, everything's going to the kids. We've been very generous to charity along the way. So where do you go with that? I find the way to do that is to change the question. So a cool exercise that your listeners might find helpful. You could honestly do it on the back of a napkin. I encourage you to do it in a reflective, peaceful, joyful place. But write down the names of the loved ones you want to bless with an inheritance. And then ask three questions, Rob. The first one is, what do I hope the inheritance is going to do? And it's kind of the joyful motion picture. Like, if should the Lord choose, what kinds of opportunities and experiences and possessions might be helpful to this child so that they can flourish and pursue all God would have for them?
Yes.
The next question is, what do I anticipate or expect? Now I'm looking at the unique creation God has made in this loved one, their challenges, their giftings, and honestly, a very sober look at their current life trajectory.
Yes.
And you say, if I were to be taken home to be with Jesus right now and these resources fell on that child, it's like fuel in the engine and they're barreling down the highway. What does that look like soberly and pragmatically?
Yes.
And then the final question is, you know, do I have any concerns? Sometimes I call them fears, and it might just be contextual. You know, I worry about work ethic, or I had a story about a neighbor down the street with, you know, addictions or relationship challenges. And so if we can get that out of our heads, even as a couple or individual, onto a paper, boy, now we've got something to work with instead of some esoteric number on what's healthy or not.
Oh, that's so good. Well, as you know, our friend David Wills says that we pass not only financial capital, but spiritual capital, character capital. And so it's not all about the money. And Gene, what if somebody asked those three questions and they kind of stop in their tracks like, uh-oh, this could actually take a child who's on the wrong trajectory, not making good life decisions, and actually accelerate that or pull them away from the Lord? What then?
Absolutely. Then you have to soberly look at the amount, because what's the goal? The resources we leave won't be the savior of that trajectory. We know who that savior is. So we want to right size the amount of the fuel in the engine to help our children. I love that old Henry Blackaby study, Rob, all those years ago, experiencing God. Let's see where God's working in the life of that loved one and structure our inheritance to join him there.
And we don't have to wait until we pass away. What about getting them involved in the giving right now?
Absolutely.
That actually could be the fuel behind all of this. I love that.
I kind of infamously, who knows, but with regard to clients, when we're done with the estate planning process or throughout, my question is going to pivot to why wait?
Yes.
The estate plans that thrive and flourish are the ones that have a view on where they want to go. They pragmatically see where they are, and they start pouring into those loved ones now and bringing them on the journey, the discipleship journey of stewardship.
Oh, that's so good. All right, the three questions. What do I hope will come out of this? What do I anticipate or expect? And are there any concerns that I have? All right, Gene, let's move from this second question of how much should I leave to the kids to the third question, and that is, how do I create inheritances that incorporate the family's heritage story and values? This is something that is often just not even on the radar of the matriarch and patriarch as they think about their legacy plan, right?
Indeed. And I think it's really helpful for clients before they dive down into the complexity of the estate planning documents and the trust planning that they first elevate it and think in terms of three types of inheritances. Rather than saying family or charity or children or future generations, thinking of it in terms of three can be really helpful. So I think of those as kind of an inheritance to spend to help launch our dependents so they're living independent, productive, and content, you know, life trajectories. That's essential. From there, though, you can create sort of a common family trust to help shape the family story, to highlight those values and experiences that have been a core part of the family togetherness generationally. And it can provide almost the soil or a playing field for multiple generations to come up and say, hey, let's go be creative together, or let's go be servants together, or let's go do lifelong learning together. Whatever those values are, it's kind of like you create the field of dreams and you fund it and you invite them to come play.
I
guess the final type of inheritance, if you've got one to spend to launch, one to shape to create this field of dreams that families can come together and live out their values and heritage. And the third type of inheritance is to share. A trust or a charity or a donor advice fund that allow people in the family to come together and go serve others and bless others with the resources God's entrusted to them as part of their legacy.
I love that. You know, it really does change the conversation and gives you a plan or a path to follow depending upon where the Lord is leading you. We're going to have to bring you back and unpack each of those. But before we let you go, we've got about a minute left, Gene. One of the most effective tools to help with all of this is a giving fund or a donor advised fund. Tell us how that can be helpful here.
Oh, absolutely. The donor advised funds allows families to rally around this and and intentionally do the giving, the setting aside of resources from the growing of those resources to the granting out the dollars to the individuals and charities they love to support. And by breaking it up, Rob, it allows them to do it together with a prayerful intentionality. So it's simple, it's easy, and it's just a really great little playing field for your family multi-generationally.
Oh, Gene, this was so good. Well, folks, if you want to learn more about a giving fund, head to ncfgiving.com where you can open a giving fund today, and you can connect with someone on the NCF team locally or nationally to begin this conversation. They can even help you with your giving strategy. Again, ncfgiving.com. Gene, thanks for being with us today.
Rob, thank you.
Gene McMains of the National Christian Foundation has been our guest today. Again, learn more at ncfgiving.com. We'll be right back.
$45,000. That's how many times MoneyWise referred a listener to a Certified Kingdom Advisor, or CKA, last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to moneywise.org and clicking the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
When it comes to investing guidance, you want advice grounded in God's Word. That's the approach offered by Sound Mind Investing. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire investing wisdom and confidence. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. A short video webinar on profit and peace of mind is available now at soundmindinvesting.org.
Welcome back to MoneyWise. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Let's begin today in Miami, Florida. Susan, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I am a little nervous today because I really wanted to ask you this question for a few days now, and I made sure to jump in the program, but okay. I'm going to cut straight to the question. First of all, thank you so much. You guys do an amazing job. God bless you.
Well, thank you.
I am a Christian, and my husband passed away 2 months ago. Unfortunately, we battled with cancer for 3 years. It was very, very tough. But my husband was a godly man, and that's what makes me happy at this call. He did leave me life insurance, so I got $500,000 from the life insurance. And the first thing I did is I took my tithe and I gave it to my church, and now I paid off my mortgage, which was only $31,000 that I had to pay.
Yeah,
and I have absolutely no debt. So I did go to the bank, the local bank, and I asked for financial advice, but they are charging me 1.5% if I, you know, give them money to manage it for me, and then they will decide, you know, if it's bonds, if it's stocks. I'm not really understanding fully what they're talking about. I apologize. I'm 58. I'm a realtor and I don't do finances, but I'm good about saving money and not incurring any debt.
Yes.
Very good. I wonder what I should do if you were me, what would you advise? My kids are grown up and they have their own lives and I don't need to help anybody at this time. I do help missions. I have, you know, kids from Compassion and I love helping people, but my daughter is worried about me giving money too much away. And I told her, don't worry about it. I'm not stupid.
Well, Susan, I'm delighted you called and I appreciate your kind remarks. I'm so sorry to hear about your husband's passing, but I'm Certainly thankful for the hope of heaven and the testimony that you gave to that today. We certainly know where he is, and he's in the presence of the Lord, and that's where, for those of us who trust in Christ, we'll all be eventually, and certainly look forward to that day. I think you just pausing at this season in your life, taking a breath, and really thinking about where God would have you to go is really important. We don't want to make any big decisions, whether it's giving money to anyone. Don't get me wrong, I love that you gave the tithe and that you paid off the mortgage. That's phenomenal. But just in terms of, locking this money up in an annuity or, making a loan to a family member or friend, I mean, I would just kind of go slow here and seek some wise counsel, which is what I'm hearing that you're certainly doing. Let me ask you a couple of questions. You mentioned you were a realtor, and so you're obviously continuing to work. How long do you plan to work? Do you have a sense of that?
Yeah, I really don't want to stop working, and being a realtor is good because it's flexible. Right now, emotionally, I'm not altogether. I have good days and bad days.
Sure.
I just have to continue to lead. So being a realtor for me right now is very comfortable.
Yes.
But I want to take a 6 month break if I can.
Yes, very good. Okay. Well, I like that idea because it keeps you active. It gets you out of the house. But as you said, you can kind of take it the way you want. Certainly, real estate in South Florida is very high right now. And so, even if you just sell a few homes, I mean, you can make a significant amount of money. I think the key is thinking toward that time where either you want to stop working or you're unable to work, and really having a plan for what you ultimately need to accumulate in the way of assets, starting with this roughly $400,000 or so that's left, and then beyond that, what it can grow to, and then any other retirement assets that you have that could supplement Social Security. So we want to be somewhat conservative with that, and yet have a growth component to it. The 1.5% doesn't scare me in the sense that that's fairly in line with what you would expect to pay for somebody to take discretion over the account. The thing that gave me pause about what you said is that, they'll just take it and do what they want with it. And didn't sound like you had a whole lot of understanding coming away from that initial meeting with, what they would be doing with it. And perhaps there wasn't a, and maybe there was, and you just didn't mention it, but I didn't get the sense that they were really just wanting to know a lot about you and who you were and what God was doing in your life and how to match, the investments with where you're ultimately going and, what this needs to look like. And so I would want to make sure there's not a cookie cutter approach, if you will, to the management of this money, but somebody truly knows you and can serve you and how they manage this money well, because you're the steward, even though you might delegate some of the responsibility to a professional. My first contact, if I was looking for an advisor, wouldn't be the bank. Doesn't mean there's not great investment professionals at local banks. There certainly can be, but we at MoneyWise trust the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. So I would interview two or three CKAs there in South Florida, find the one that's the best fit that you just feel like based on the experience and the rapport and how they would communicate with you, the level of time that they take to do discovery about who you are, and the fact that they can not only be clear about their fees, but articulate how they will manage the money in a way that aligns with what you're trying to accomplish. I think that's really going to be key, because having that trusted professional that you can know is waking up every day thinking about the fact that this is being managed properly, you will certainly monitor it, and that's your responsibility to do that, but you can have the confidence that you can go about what God's called you to, your work and your family and any ministry he has you doing, and they can take care of the management of these funds. And the idea would be that, even with the volatile market right now, they could deploy this into the market in a way that's obviously going to take advantage of the declines we've seen as of late, which is a good thing. You're buying at a discount. I like that. And even if there's further downside, we hit a recession, that's okay, because you're looking long haul. Even once you retire, and that may be years off, you still have a decades-long need for this money if the Lord tarries and you're in good health. So find the advisor that's the right fit for you, that can really help you with the planning side, where are you ultimately going and what do you need to accumulate, and deploying the investment strategy, the management of the funds. And then you can move from there. So head to our website, moneywise.org, and click Find a CKA. and you hold the line. I want to chat with you just a moment off the air and make sure you don't have any follow-up questions. Well, before we run today, I want to ask you about how you think about money. Do you control how you spend it, save it, and give it, or does it seem to control you? Well, every day we talk about what the Bible has to say about money and how important it is to have a plan for how we manage it. If you haven't already done so, let me recommend that you check out the free MoneyWise app and let it help you get started on building a plan and working that plan so you control your money rather than it controlling you. You can find links to it on our website at moneywise.org. I'm Rob West. Many thanks to our amazing broadcast team and to you for listening. I hope you'll join us again next time, right here on MoneyWise.
MoneyWise is provided by MoneyWise Media and listeners like you.